I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Outlier Podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Conlin, and I have been completely crazy this week. I feel like my head is not screwed on. I had a plan to provide a lighter episode today. I've been covering some heavy stuff. So I had an interview with Lisa Welchel, best known for her work in the 1980s on The Facts of Life. And now she has this great reality show on MeTV. It's really cute. It's called The Collector's Call, where people show these different collector's items from different decades. And Lisa and I had this great conversation about her reality show, her faith, working with George Clooney on The Facts of Life. And I didn't hit record, so that was a huge bummer. I mean, in my defense, I had a busy morning, and I just had back-to-back-to-back-to-back stuff, and I went back to edit the interview, and it wasn't there. So I was like, oh, are you kidding me? I need to get it together, and I am, believe me. But regardless, I have an amazing guest for you today. I have crime novelist Don Winslow, and we will get to him in a bit. And he is just, he's awesome. He was great to talk to. And I have not read any of his books. I'm kind of embarrassed that I haven't, but I just ordered 3 of them. So before I go on, I want to personally bring up this workout app that I use that I want to share with you, because if you're like me, I like to get up early and work out before my kids are up, but I'm also surprisingly not a morning person, so it's hard for me to get up, and then the thought of even leaving my apartment just makes me anxious. So that's why I love this Lit and Lean app that I use, because I can do these workouts in my kitchen, in my living room, because all you need essentially is this app and a set of weights. And listen, if you're proper, you can get a mat. But these are full body sculpting workouts with amazing playlists. And again, it's called Lit and Lean. And there are over 250 workouts to choose from, ranging from 5 minutes to 55 minutes. And I swear, these workouts have really changed my body. I could not wear a two-piece even after my youngest was 3. And I'm like, okay, this has been way too long. I really need to get it together here. And Lit and Lean workouts really did it for me. So go to the App Store, search for Lit and Lean by Sutra, or the link is in the episode notes as well, and you will get 50% off the first month if you use the code OUTLIER. So just trust me on this. The convenience and the ease of working out at home and having a great trainer like Liz from Lit and Lean is what you want to do. Okay, moving on. O.J. Simpson, he has passed away from prostate cancer at the age of 76, and he died yesterday, which was April 11th, 2024, and his family actually posted on his Twitter that he had died.
And OJ was at one time regarded as one of the greatest running backs of all time. He played in the NFL for 11 seasons. He had an acting career. He was in the Naked Gun movies. But obviously, if you don't live under a rock, you are aware that all of this was completely overshadowed by the media circus of his 1995 trial, double murder trial, for the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson, his wife at the time, or estranged wife, and Ron Goldman, her friend. And most people believed he was guilty. The evidence would support the fact that he was guilty, but a jury found him not guilty and they acquitted him. And this was a huge moment in history. It was again, the trial lasted about 11 months. I was a kid, but my parents had it on every day. And I truly remember being captivated by it and the whole glove not fitting. I mean, if you paid attention, there were rumors that OJ did not take his arthritis medicine for some time, so his hand swelled on purpose, and that's how he was acquitted. Regardless of what you believe, a jury did not find him guilty. So although he was acquitted of the criminal charges, a civil court did find him guilty of these murders, and he was ordered to pay over $30 million to Nicole Brown's family and the family of Ron Goldman. So he only paid some of this debt. And it looks like he was trying to get money because he was arrested in 2007 in Las Vegas for burglary. And he was trying to steal sports memorabilia. It's kind of crazy. But he essentially turned into a career criminal after the deaths of Ron and Nicole. And when I was posting about OJ's death yesterday, when it happened, I was really surprised that quite a few people indicated that they believed OJ's son, Jason, who was said to be a bit mentally ill, had something to do with Nicole and Ron's murder, or that he was involved and OJ was also involved, or OJ took the fall for him. And I was just surprised that a lot of people did believe that. I don't believe that. I kind of did some digging into it. And I also listened to this reporter from Fox News. His name is Eric Shawn. And he described yesterday on the Faulkner Focus these photos, these horrific photos that reporters were able to see that the public never saw. And all of this evidence really pointing at OJ. And I was just like, no, no way, no way, no way. So anyway, just a bit about OJ. He was married to someone else, his first wife in 1967. Her name was Marguerite Whitley, and they actually had three kids together, Arnell, Jason, and Aaron. So Jason is the one I just spoke about, but Aaron actually died as a toddler, which is so sad. And there were rumors that OJ started dating Nicole Brown, who we met at some club, while he was still married. So Nicole Brown Simpson and OJ were only married for 7 years, and they had some domestic violence issues. Like, the police were called to their house, I think twice, but they ended up getting divorced in 1993, citing irreconcilable differences. So the night of the murder, that was June 12th, 1994. Oh, and Nicole Brown Simpson and OJ, they had two kids together, Sydney and Justin. So again, on June 12th, 1994, Nicole Brown Simpson, or Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman, they were out to dinner in Brentwood, California, and they were coming home. And they were outside of Nicole's house, and they were stabbed to death. And with the history of OJ's domestic violence, he clearly became the prime suspect. And this is where it all started. What we all remember, or if you're my age, what I remember as a kid, this two-hour police chase through California on the highway with OJ Simpson riding in the back of a white Ford Bronco. So the prosecutors did present DNA evidence linking OJ to the scene of the crime and the bloody glove. And then, if you recall, his lawyers were so great at creating reasonable doubt. And those lawyers were Johnny Cochran, Alan Dershowitz, F. Lee Bailey, Robert Shapiro, Robert Kardashian, who is Kim Kardashian and her sister's late father. So When I say they did such a good job of creating reasonable doubt, they just poked so many holes. I mean, they would argue that photo evidence was mislabeled, DNA wasn't stored right, so it could have been affected. Police obtained the glove without getting a search warrant. Yada, yada. So obviously, again, you remember that when he tried on that bloody glove, it appeared to be too small for him and he was acquitted. So after that, I mean, this guy, I can't even tell you, O.J. Simpson, who was completely on top at one point, star athlete, getting commercials and brand deals, doing movies, all of a sudden he becomes this career criminal. There were battery and assault charges in the coming years, theft, money laundering. I mean, all eyes were on him, and it seemed pretty obvious that the federal government did want to lock him up. So September 13th, 2007, he was arrested and charged with several counts of robbery with a deadly weapon, burglary with a deadly weapon, and conspiracy to commit crime. And this was in Las Vegas, where he lived. The reports claim that he and five other men barged into this Las Vegas hotel room and stole various items, which O.J. Simpson claimed, hey, these were mine to begin with. So then he is found guilty later that October, weapons charges, robbery, and kidnapping charges. And he is sentenced to 33 years in prison with the eligibility of parole after 9 years. So he told the judge, I didn't want to steal anything from anyone, right? And he ended up being released in 2017. And in 2019, he sued another Las Vegas casino for saying defamatory things about him, that he was drunk and disorderly. I mean, yeah, very troubled. And OJ has gone on various podcasts, various sports shows, and been a commentator for, gosh, the last few years. And that's been pretty surprising to me that people were so forthcoming and willing to have him on. He was on Shaquille O'Neal this past February on his podcast, and Shaquille O'Neal and Cameron and Mace, they're rappers. They actually were talking about opening up to women. And then somehow that turned into a whole, oh yeah, OJ, don't confess, don't confess. That would be crazy. And they all start laughing. And OJ laughed too. And it's just so terrible and so disrespectful to laugh about a double murder, especially when this was the mother of your two children. So that's just completely unacceptable behavior. And also in February of 2024, there were rumors going around that OJ was in hospice, and he went on to his ex to Twitter and he tweeted and said, nope, these are just rumors. Don't believe everything you hear, everything you read. I'm having a Super Bowl party this month, so I'm great. And then 2 months later, now he is dead from cancer. So that is that. That's my little OJ spiel for today. But let's get to my guest, because he's awesome. Crime novelist Don Winslow, who is promoting his latest novel, City in Ruins. And this is the last book in the Danny Ryan trilogy. So the first two books are called City on Fire and City of Dreams. And I had mentioned I had not read these books. He's written a bunch of books. I have not read them. So I ordered them because they seem like they are right up my alley. So I'm totally embarrassed here. But this is Don's last book ever. And I wasn't sure if he just meant last book in the trilogy or last book ever. So I clarified. And yeah, he is retiring from writing. He's getting into politics. He kind of starts to talk about it. But honestly, I wasn't in the mood to talk politics this morning, so I kind of skimmed over it. But he has written 15 acclaimed crime novels. He's also been a private investigator, which gave him a lot of his inspiration. But just a bit about Danny Ryan, and this is per NPR. I liked what they had to say, so I snatched it from there. But Danny Ryan, who has been a Rhode Island mobster, dock worker, and fugitive from the law, is now a pillar of the community in Las Vegas. So now he's got a home to which good citizens come to pay homage and enjoy his hospitality, his young son, and he loves the companionship. well, 3 times a week anyway, of an accomplished and compelling woman he respects. What could possibly go wrong? I liked what they said about the companionship. Well, he likes it 3 times a week, so it made me think, is this a woman of the night? I don't know. I will have to read the book. So, with all of that said, I'm going to play my interview with crime novelist Don Winslow, and then I'll close us out.
Hey, Lauren, how are you?
I'm great. Happy Friday.
And to you. And to you. How are things in New York today?
Things are good. I mean, the weather is getting a little bit nicer, but congratulations on the last book in the Danny Ryan trilogy. Can you clarify for me, Don?
Thank you.
Yes, of course. Is this the last book you were ever going to write, or just the last book in the trilogy?
It's the last book I'm going to write. It's my last novel.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. I mean, how did you come to the conclusion that this was it for you?
You know, it was a sort of confluence of two streams. This trilogy took me 30 years to write. Of course, I was doing other things in the meantime, writing other books. But, you know, it felt like kind of my life's work.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And so when I was coming into the home stretch of this book and, you know, seeing the ending coming up, I began to think, you know, maybe this is it. Maybe this is time. The other stream is there are things happening in this country that I feel very strongly about. I feel democracy is under threat here in the United States, and I've been commenting on that for a while, but I wanted to turn, you know, my full attention to that.
Oh, okay. So you're going to be moving fully into politics.
Well, as a commentator, let me be very clear. I'm not running for office, right? But
yes.
For the past 5 or 6 years, I've been pretty active on social media. My friend and partner Shane Salerno and I have put out a number of videos, which have shockingly received over 300 million views. And so, at least through next November, and I think you can do the math on that. my concentration will be there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I saw you have a huge Twitter following. But just going back to what you said about the trilogy taking over 30 years to write, I believe you said in another interview that, you know, it's just so crazy because you started it when your now adult son was a toddler, and obviously he's an adult now.
Yeah.
I mean, how do the seasons in your life affect your writing, especially when you're writing about dark stuff?
I think it affects it a lot. You know, the main character in this trilogy, Danny Ryan, you know, starts off as a bachelor, a longshoreman, a very minor player. And then we see him get married and have a kid.
Yeah.
We see him taking care of an elderly parent. And those are, you know, well, I wasn't a longshoreman or in the mob, but in terms of marriage and kids and caring for an elderly parent and all of that are phases that I went through in my life. A lot of the books are set in Rhode Island. I left there when I was 17, and have been all over the country. In fact, all over the world, you know, trying to find a little success, a little stability. You know, then I finally went home to Rhode Island, as I alluded to take care of my mother. And I started seeing it in a whole different way. And so I think that those stages of your life, you know, definitely affect how you write and what you write. I don't think I could have finished this trilogy when I was in my 40s. I don't think I had those life experiences yet.
Yeah, I totally understand. And so I guess just stemming from this, where do you think aspiring or even current authors should draw their inspiration from, I guess, in order to create the best work they possibly can, the most effective work and the most genuine work?
You know, I mean, there's the cliche, write what you know, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure I agree with that.
Okay.
I think that that's certainly one way to go about it, you know, to write your own life and what you're intimate with. But that can also be limiting, you
yeah.
know? And so I think really the bigger question is write what you're passionate about, write what you feel strongly about, write what fascinates you. I feel like writing a novel is like getting married. You shouldn't do it unless you can't not do it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, no.
So what I try to tell aspiring writers is, you know, if there's a topic that interests you, even if it's not, you know, close to your own life experience, go out and learn about it. But go out and learn about it. Do the heavy lifting. Do the research. You know, interview mm-hmm. people and then learn about it and then write about it.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And it's so funny because I think that when you provide advice like that, you see the people who are going to put the work in and the people who aren't. And then those are the people obviously that want it the most, the people that do put the work in. So that's
yeah,
great
it's,
advice.
It's very clear, believe me.
Yeah.
It's very clear. So many people, you know, they'll tell me about the first chapter of their book. You know, people will stop me on the street, right?
Oh, boy,
and,
yeah.
And say, oh, I've got this great idea for a book. Or my favorite one is, I've got an idea for a book you should write. And my response is, no, you have an idea for a book you should write. And, you know, and go ahead and do it.
Wait, that's really funny. You're like, oh, thank you so much. Wow. Let me get right on that, stranger. Wow.
It happens all the time. You know,
I don't mean to be
snarky about it, but I really mean, you know, yeah, if you've got an idea that you think's a great idea, write it.
Yeah, I think I would maybe be snarky about that. That's also just like parenting advice that you don't ask for. You're like, what? Okay. Or from non-parents, I should say. That's also the best. But so...
I love that. Don't you love that?
Oh my God. No, yeah. I can't stand it. I love it. People saying, oh, if my kid did this, I'm like, do you even have a kid?
Yeah.
Right. So you were.
So go home and tell that to your kid. It's
your imaginary kid too. But you were a PI in Times Square. I'm unclear.
Yeah.
What years were you a PI?
Well, on and off for a number of years. If you're mm-hmm. asking about Times Square, I want to say it was like around 78 to 81, so a long time ago in a galaxy far away. But it was, you know, it was long before Mickey Mouse took over. You know, it was the era of crack and sort of the low point of New York in many ways, you know.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Times Square helps. Yeah, and I lived on the Upper West Side. I lived on 104th and Broadway. In the days when, you know, people would hold a wake for you when you moved up there,
my gosh,
they just looked at you like, oh, goodbye. You
know,
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And then later, however, in California, from the late 80s until the late 90s, I worked on investigative cases and trials out here.
Okay. Yeah. So I was curious about New York. Generally, because I was thinking about how disgusting and scary Times Square was. And I guess you were experiencing it right around that time. I know the late 80s is probably a bit worse, but did you work for yourself or for a law firm?
Both at various times. In New York, I worked for a detective agency. But, you know, later on in life, I was a consultant and worked for myself, but mostly hired by law firms.
Did you ever fear your life?
In Times Square?
Yeah. Like, oh, you did. Okay. I was wondering if you could share something specific.
I always said the scariest thing I ever did was ride home on the number 2 train.
Oh, really? Oh, gosh.
They called it the Beast in those days. And, you know, and where I lived was not, you know, exactly safe. But I have to tell you, I'm nostalgic about those years, and I miss the grittiness of the city. It had a soulfulness in those days that I'm not sure I find now. You know, I mean, I love New York, and it's always great to go back. I was just there a week or so ago, you know, and took a long nostalgic walk up Broadway, which was great. I miss the, I don't know, I'm not doing a good job of articulating this, but I miss sort of the, what I thought was the soulfulness of it in those days.
No, I get what you're saying. It's interesting. I did not, you know, I moved here when I was 18. I went to college in New York, but I visited a lot as a kid. I went to school for musical theater. So my mom was always traveling from New Hampshire to take me to Broadway shows. And I remember when I saw Rent, you know, when I first got to New York, 18 years old, I went down to Alphabet City in the East Village, and it did have this authenticity about it. I mean, it wasn't beautiful, but you know, it was cool. It was unique. And you're right, now it's different. It's, I don't know if the word is gentrified, it's cookie cutter. It's definitely different. So I agree.
Well, it feels to me now maybe too much like it's just all about real estate. You know, and I think COVID had a devastating effect, you know, that in closing some of those mom and pop businesses and things that, you know, used to make up the heart of a neighborhood and maybe don't so much anymore.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally agree. And, Don, just to wrap things up, cause you are such an awesome guy. Tell everyone why they need to read City in Ruins, your last explosive novel in this trilogy. Seriously.
Well, seriously, listen, I'm the last person to do that. I it took me 30 years to write this, you know. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's one reason they'll read it out of pity. But
yeah, well, listen, stop it. My gosh. It,
you know, you know, if they've read the first door, if they haven't, they could start with this book. But yeah, I just think it's a good story, and it wraps up what I tried to do, which was to create a crime, modern crime epic out of the old Greek and Roman classics.
Yes.
This is basically the story of the Aeneid and the Odyssey told in modern crime terms. And I hope people find that compelling and interesting.
And they already do. Let's be honest. Most people have already read the first two books. And I also want to add that people should read it because it's going to be a movie. So that is definitely happening.
It is with Austin Butler, who they cast because he looks so much like me. But
sorry.
No, you look on the book jacket and you'll see it's untrue. I'm just delighted about that. You know, he's a really obviously terrific actor and also just a really good guy. So I'm thrilled.
Yeah. Well, and folks, you heard Don. Don is funny too. Don, I mean, you are just, you're a great guy. Thank you so much. I wish you so much success.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. For the rest of your career.
Okay, Lauren.
Okay, have a good one.
Say hi to New York for me. Have a great week.
Okay, that was Don Winslow. Lovely man, and I cannot wait to read his books. So I also want to plug tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern. If you get the Merritt Street Media Channel, it's a brand new channel. It's Dr. Phil's network. It's on Hulu, but I believe you can look up what channel it is on your local listings, but I will be on the 6 p.m. Eastern episode of Nancy Grace, and I will be on a panel discussing the sentencing of Jennifer and James Crumbly, who are the parents of Ethan Crumbly, the Michigan school shooter who provided the gun to their son. They were just sentenced to between 10 and 50 years for 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter. And their son, actually, who was 15 at the time, was sentenced to life without parole. And I've discussed this briefly on this podcast, but just how this was a landmark trial. Parents have never been charged before for their responsibility and the actions of their teenager or their child. And this is different. I mean, people that don't know the details are like, well, wait a second, how can parents help what their kids do? I mean, and I totally agree with that. But in this case, this boy Ethan was crying out for help. He was mentally unstable, and instead of getting him help, they bought him a gun. He deliberately asked for help. He told his mom he was seeing demons and things were being thrown around in his house. She wouldn't respond. The school had said, hey, look at what he's drawing. He's saying the thoughts won't go away. There's blood everywhere. And he's drawing pictures of guns and blood. And it's bad. So read up on that. And yeah, watch Nancy Grace tonight, 6 p.m. Merritt Street Media, to hear this panel discuss everything that happened in the courtroom. And namely, it was so crazy because Jennifer and James Crumbly, they didn't seem to take any type of responsibility. They apologized on behalf of their son, Ethan, but they both were kind of like, we don't deserve this, and we absolutely hate the prosecutor because of it. And I just feel so terrible for the parents of the victims, because this tragedy, the murder, the shooting of four students, I shouldn't say shooting, the killing of four students and the wounding of seven others could have been prevented if Jennifer and James Crumbly just took their son to get help. And I firmly believe that, and I am confident in saying that. So yeah, take a look at some of the clips from the trial. It'll just make your blood boil. But anyway, if you like this podcast, don't forget to rate and subscribe on Apple. I'll be back next week with another episode. Thanks for listening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.